Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Now, this is a particular subject about which I am adamant. And I think I would be because it's Bible anyway. However, because I've had personal experience with this in the family and so forth, really a major problem, something that needs to be preached, something that you need to hear. And if you've got involvement with this or know people who are, look, man, you got to get the Bible's perspective on this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." If you're not a wise man, you're a fool. So, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, listen. I've had the opportunity to confront a lot of people. When I say confront them, I didn't go up and see them with a bottle in their hand and say, "Get that nasty thing out of your mouth." I'm not like that. I mean, I've been out preaching, doing stuff for the Lord, whatever, and a man will come up to me and he'll say, "You know, you can't show me in the Bible where it's wrong for a man to drink." Well, today we're going to go through the Bible. We're going to see that the Bible says it's wrong for a man to drink. Not those words specifically, but then again, those words specifically. You know, Paul told Timothy to drink wine. And a man, I remember we were preaching on the street one time. We were out in front of a bar. And a fella came up to him and he says, "You know, I'm right drinking." He didn't say it that way. He said, "You know, I'm right drinking." He was drunk as a skunk. I said, "Really? Why?" He said, "Because Paul told Timothy to drink some wine. And so I'm having me a little hooch myself." I said, "You got to be kidding me. That thing that Paul gave to Timothy was a medicine, was a prescription for how to deal with some stomach problems he had. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Notice what he said, a little wine. What for? So you can get inebriated? No, for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. There are Christians, for instance, who from time to time during the cold season will have a real problem getting a good night's sleep when they're all stopped up and having a cold, and they'll take NyQuil as an example. I'm not touting the product, just telling you that they'll take something like that. You ever read the label? You know what it's got in it? Alcohol. Seriously. And so here's this guy. And sometimes there are people that take these herbal products. There's an herb called lobelia, which is good if you've got a cough. For instance, it's kind of a muscle relaxant. It helps you to secrete stuff that's in your lungs and get it out of there, almost like an expectorant. You read the label. I'm not touting that particular. I'm just telling you that there's something like that out there. Oftentimes, if you get lobelia, it is in an alcohol content. All right. What Paul was telling Timothy is about like somebody taking lobelia that's got a little alcohol in it, or NyQuil that's got a little alcohol in it. What he's telling him is he's got to settle his stomach down, and a little wine, some people even suggest that wine was mixed with water, a little wine would settle that down and would take care of his often infirmities. I remember years ago, an elderly woman that we knew had very difficult problems with digestion, and she also had trouble with gaining weight, and she had no appetite. That's a critical situation. You know what the doctor said for her to do? He said drink a little glass of white wine before supper, and you'll increase your appetite, you'll have a better appetite, and you'll do fine. She's up over 100 years old now, still alive. So what's going on here? You're not going to use 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, to justify that you can drink. Like an old preacher said, a fellow came up to him, he was one of his deacons, and he said, "I found in the Bible where Paul told Timothy to drink, and therefore I know that I'm right to drink." And that preacher scratched his head and looked at that guy and said, "Is your name Timothy?" It was specifically given to one man about a specific problem. It wasn't a license for Christians to drink. Some people say, well, that Jesus drank wine at the Last Supper. Have you ever read the account? I mean, really read it. If you read Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, concerning the Last Supper, Jesus never referred to what was in the cup as wine. He called it the fruit of the vine. I had some of the fruit of the vine for lunch the other day. You say, oh, you did? Yeah, I've had some of the fruit of the vine with a bowl of cereal that I had at night. Ho, 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 you did? Well, you're our kind of preacher, bless God. You take a little hooch with your lunch, you take a little hooch with your cereal at night before you go to bed. Bless God, we're going to like you. I didn't say that. I had that fruit of the vine when I ate some grapes with my sandwich. I had a little of that fruit of the vine when I had some Welch's grape juice that I used instead of milk on the cereal. Oh, you say, huh? You're not our kind of preacher, and who ever heard of putting juice on cereal anyway? You read Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. He calls it the fruit of the vine. He calls it the fruit of the vine in Mark 14, 25. He calls it the fruit of the vine in Luke 22, 18. You know why? Because it's the fruit of the vine. It's not wine. And he even talked about drinking it new with them in his Father's kingdom. Listen, that reference at the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper is always either a reference to the fruit of the vine or as a reference to a cup, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the contents are always the fruit of the vine. Always. It's never called wine one time. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look in the Bible and we're going to see what the deal is from the Bible on drinking. And the first thing that we see from Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 is that wine will mock you. Wine will mock you, and strong drink is raging. I've watched them, haven't you? Men get out of control, take a little bit too much to drink. Next thing you know, you got a stabbing, you got a shooting, you got a fist fight, you got all kind of problems going on, arguments and every other kind of thing going on. They go over there, these police are answering and responding to these problems with domestic violence, and they get to the house, and invariably drugs or alcohol is involved. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That tells you that the wine will mock you. It will deceive you. The strong drink will deceive you. A man says, well, I'll sit down and have me a toddy tonight. The next thing he knows, he's gotten real lively in the conversation, and he's had three toddies because he didn't realize the bartender kept slipping another drink under him. He gets in his car, starts to drive home. He tells the officer, he said, well, I've only had one drink. But he's blowing something that's higher than the legal drinking deal, and he gets a DUI or a DWI. Say, how in the world that happened? He was deceived by his wine. He was deceived by a strong drink. A man takes another man to lunch, and he says, we got a great business proposition here. Bartender, bring this man his favorite drink and bring him whatever he wants, a glass of wine, a margarita, some kind of a deal like that. The guy gets to drink, and they start talking business, and before long, they've had several drinks. And they're talking lots of business, and they get all chummy, and the guy says, you know what? I'd like some of that deal. He's been deceived. He gets into the business deal only to find out that he's been crooked. He's been taken. Why? Deceived by the wine. Deceived by the strong drink. I remember years ago when people were running around trying to get up these oil leases, and I'm talking lots of years ago. They were waiting on certain discoveries in one field to see if maybe the field next to it would have oil in it. And so what they'd do is they'd take the guy that was the landowner and get him drunk, or they would take another oil man and get him drunk so they would miss the deal, or they could pick up the deal from the landowner, and they used the whiskey. They used the whiskey to grease the skids to make the deal happen. Why? Because wine will mock a fella, and it'll allow him to be deceived. And so they put the wine in them, they put the whiskey in them to deceive them, and it'll do that to you. It'll make you think you're smart when you're really stupid. It'll make you think you're funny when you're just ridiculous. It'll make you think that other things are funny when in fact they're very sad and gloomy. They'll make you think that another woman besides the one you're married to is pretty and make you think that somehow or another you can somehow or another get in bed with her and still save your marriage. Why? Because it is a raging, it is a mocker, it is a deceiver. You have no business getting involved with that alcohol at all. Not if you name the name of Christ. Not if you're a Christian. I know Christians, and they think that it's okay to drink that stuff from time to time. It's that one time when you screw up when you're going to pay the price. Like a fella said, and I've heard it and I've used it, he says, any man that says I can take it or leave it, he'll take it every time it's offered to him. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29, and notice what happens to an old drunk. You say an old drunk, yeah, this may be the first time he got drunk, maybe every time he gets drunk. This is what happens to him. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29, the Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? You've never seen a more depressing bunch of folks than people who get drunk regularly. Why? It screws up the body chemistry. They've got sorrow. They're depressed. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? That's somebody that's getting into arguments and that they turn into fistfights. Who hath babbling? Lord, you've never heard so much babbling in all your life as somebody who's had too much to drink. They can go on for hours and hours and talk about nothing. Who hath wounds without cause? Bumped into the wall, fell down, bumped into a chair, hit his head on the table, fell on the concrete, slammed the door on his finger. Who hath wounds without cause? Don't even know where they came from. Big old bruise on the thigh, walked into the table, didn't know it. Who hath redness of eyes? That's always a good sign that somebody's had a little too much to drink. Blood vessels dilating in the eyes. Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Solomon said, if you want to stay out of trouble, he said, don't even look at it. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Don't even look at it. You'll see people, whenever they order wine, they'll pour it in there and they'll smell it, and then they'll whisk it around inside of that glass to see what the legs do when it comes back down to the bottom of the glass to find out whether it's good or not. He said, don't even look at it. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. At the last. It doesn't until you've had too much. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. There you go. They even used to say that. This is a very crude comment, but they even used to say that years and years ago when I was in the first getting started in the banking business, and fellas were talking about what they were going to do on Friday night, and they say, yeah, I think I'll go down to such and such a bar, see if I can get me some strange. I read this in the Bible, and I thought to myself, is not this absolutely remarkable that they would use a Bible word to describe their sin, and it is a word that was put in the authorized King James Version of the Bible in 1611, 400 years ago nearly? Remarkable that people say you need a more modern, up-to-date language when the most modern, up-to-date language that you can find is in the verses of the Bible from which I am reading today? You can't get away from it. The common language is contained here. I did a study on that. The common words are changed in the modern Bibles to scholarly words, and people talk about we want something that's easier to understand. If you want common language, it's in the King James authorized version of the Bible. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Well, when somebody's lying in the midst of the sea, what's happening? They're rocking and rolling, tossing and turning. And when somebody lies down on his bed and he's drunk, you know what happens? The room starts spinning and it feels like the bed is pitching and heaving, which is what he's going to do here pretty soon. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. I've heard people say that over and over again after they wake up from a hangover. Did you get the license plate of that truck? What happened? They got hammered. Felt like they got run over by a truck. Did you get the license plate of that truck? Oh, man, I feel horrible, man. I feel like I just got out of a big fight, 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali. Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I feel like I just got beat up. Oh. And they think that's cool. Yeah, man, I really got hammered last night. Let's go out and get us another beer. You ever hear their vocal cords? You ever look at their eyes? You ever see what's done to their face and to their skin? They're a wreck. We led a fellow up in his 60s to the Lord. He was jaundiced. His liver had been destroyed by alcohol. Thank God he got saved. But he never recovered. His liver never bounced back, and he finally died. It was a miserable thing. That's alcohol for you. Yeah, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Wounds without cause, redness of eyes. Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just the kind of thing you want to get involved in. Yeah, loosen up your lips, make you the life of the party. They'll consider you a clown is what they'll consider you. Now look over here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Drinking. That bottle has no place on the table of a Christian. You say, well, I got liberty. Yes, you do. You really do. Everything's legal for you. Everything's lawful for you. But it's not all expedient for you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, woe unto him, this is the bartender, this is the guy of the life of the party, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. Why? that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. Yeah, you're going to get drunk and puke. What do they drink for? They drink so they can get them naked. That's what the Bible just said, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. You say that's awful crude. Well, that's the way the Bible talks sometimes. The Bible will talk so straight sometimes it'll offend you if you're not careful. And you'll hear me repeat it, and I know it sounds pretty strong, but the truth of the matter is that's what he said. You ought to be giving somebody something to drink so that you can get them drunk to look on their nakedness. You're filled with shame for glory. But that's what a lot of people do. Yeah, I'm going to take her out on a date, and I'm going to get her drunk, see how far we can go. And then I'll tell the boys. Shame on you. And shame on her. Shame on you both. But that's what people do it for, if you want to get right down to it. Why would somebody allow themselves to get so drunk? So they can get rid of their inhibitions and do things that they wouldn't have done if they were sober, and then regret it later when the baby comes, the virginity's lost, the disease arrives. You ought to think. You ought to think. How I wish, if they aren't already, that your young people, our young people, were listening to this and listening to us to the extent that they would follow what the Bible is saying. You go to a party and somebody wants to give you something to drink, they're interested in one thing. They want to see you naked and take advantage of you and cost you your virginity and give you a disease and give you a baby that you were not ready to raise. Yes, amen, amen, and amen. Lot's daughters got him drunk so they could conceive. You ought to read about that in Genesis chapter 19. You ought to read that. You say, that's in the Bible? You better believe it's in the Bible. Bible's true. It's not what people don't understand about this book that causes them to want to get a different book. It's what they do understand that they don't like. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Yes, sirree. Yeah, Christians, we got liberty to drink. Yeah, you got liberty to destroy your life and the lives of other people that see your liberty. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. What's the deal? They want that loud music to drown out any conviction the Holy Spirit may be bringing in their way, and they're willing to start drinking early in the morning, drink late till the evening, until they're inflamed. Same chapter, Isaiah 5, verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. A man that is in a position of judgment who drinks is prone to making decisions that go contrary to the Lord and contrary to righteousness, and he's there, literally, he can screw up his judgment. You don't want to be that careless. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4. The Bible tells us, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4, the Bible tells us that when the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we are going to be kings and priests with him. So you ought to read the Bible to see what the Bible give, what kind of advice the Bible gives to kings about wine. Yeah, if you're going to be a king, you ought to see what the Bible says about that. Okay, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So drink is to put a man out of his misery, and as a Christian, you don't have misery. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And if you've got misery as a Christian, you've got a problem. Something needs to be dealt with. Not that Christians don't get affliction, not that Christians don't go on hard times, but God gives us grace, not drink, to deal with our infirmities and necessities and distresses and reproaches. It's not for kings. You're a king. You're going to be a king. You're the child of a king. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. It's not for you. You say, well, that takes care of the kings, but maybe in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, I'll be a priest, and priests, bless God, handle the wine. Oh, boy. Oh, well, you ought to read your Bible, because the Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 tells you what priests will do who are serving the Lord. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Leviticus, you know that book you don't read? Leviticus, right there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 10, verse 9. Do not drink wine. Who's this saying to? Aaron, the high priest. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Well, there you go. How can you get any clearer than that? If you're going to be kings and priests, it's not for kings to drink wine, and it's not for priests to drink wine. So what are you going to do? Well, bless God, I've never seen it that way before. Well, you ought to. And you ought to listen to what it says, and you ought to do what it says. You say, well, look, I'm a Christian. And I've got all the liberty I want, do what I want, and bless God, just because you show me a few verses out of the Old Testament, tell me I'm not supposed to drink, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to. Okay. Then you're setting yourself up for some bad things. First of all, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7, first bad thing. You're fixing to make a mistake. You're going to be prone to error and bad judgment. Isaiah 28, 7. They also have erred through wine and through strong drink or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. You are fixing to cloud your judgment. And you are fixing to err. That's right. Isaiah 28, 7. So what's going to happen to you? You say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's Bible. There's the truth. And if you want to err, you want to mess up in judgment, go ahead and have yourself a drink. Help yourself. But that's not all. Something else you're fixing to do, and this is going to be costly to you. Not that the others wouldn't. This one particularly is going to be costly to you. But you won't know the cost until you get to the judgment seat of Christ and see other lives that have been affected by it. Because Romans chapter 14, verse 21 says this. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. New Testament, written to Christians, written to you, and written to me. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, I told you about a week ago, I suppose, about being in a restaurant with a Christian couple, and one of them ordered wine. And that's their prerogative. I'm going to jump them out about that. They ordered wine. But what happened is that somebody else from their church showed up at the same restaurant, and the guy pushed his glass of wine away, if it was the guy, I don't remember if it was him or the lady, away in front of somebody else so that it wouldn't look like he was the one that had it. Hypocrite. Why? Well, he was afraid that it might offend somebody, that by them seeing him drink wine, that maybe they would think he was less of a Christian, or that somehow or another they might be emboldened to do the same thing because they saw him do it. Ho, ho, ho. Hypocrite. Paul said, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And if you drinking wine is going to cause somebody else that is a Christian to stumble and be emboldened to do something that you think they shouldn't be doing, you, my friend, are in trouble with God when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, because you knew better but couldn't resist the own temptation of your flesh to have your little hooch with our supper. Everybody knows that Mexican food always tastes better with beer. Right? Yeah. So let's have us one. And, oh, man, we're going to have a little extra one right here after the meal and one more for the road. Don't go there. You are in judgment. Bad testimony. You don't need it. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, and Paul makes it very clear, it's written to us in the New Testament, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A preacher showed me something about that verse I hadn't seen the first few times that I read it. But I got it now. The excess is not in the drunkenness. That's obvious. The excess is in the wine. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Where is the excess? It's in the wine, not in the drunkenness. Obviously, drunkenness is excess. But the excess is in the wine. So he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. What do you have to replace that high then? What do you have to keep you from getting into that? But be filled with the Spirit. So you're to be filled with the Spirit rather than to be drinking. That's what Paul said to you. That's what Paul said to me. That's what Paul said to the Ephesians. That's New Testament doctrine for us Christians. Don't drink. Be filled with the Spirit instead. Now, I've been filled with the Spirit, you know, as a Christian. And I've also, like the madman that Solomon talked about, experienced drunkenness with wine. Let me tell you something. Filling with the Spirit of God is far better by light years than that other. And everything that Solomon said about it is absolutely true. And everything that Isaiah said about it, absolutely true. And everything that Habakkuk said about it, absolutely true. And everything that Moses said about it, absolutely true. And everything that Paul said about it, absolutely true. So, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Well, make up your mind. And better make up your mind before this broadcast is over rather than later. But I'll tell you something, if you'll trust the grace of God to get you through getting off of booze, you're a lot better by taking your stand against it now than waiting. I remember several years ago meeting a fellow in Victoria. He and his dad had a nightclub and a dance hall. And that young fellow was driving to work one morning, and lo and behold, Lester Roloff, who's been dead since 1982, was preaching on the radio against that verse there in Habakkuk, putting that bottle to your neighbor's lips so you could see their nakedness. And about, if you have a bar, you better get out of the business. You know how you preach, right at you. And that fellow thought that Lester Roloff was still alive. We know from the Bible he is. He being dead yet speaketh. And I mean, he thought that guy had found him in that car through some special means and had spoken directly to his heart. That fellow got to work, told his dad, we need to close this bar down, get out of the business. His father said, what are we going to do with the building and how are we going to pay our bills? He said, we're going to turn it into a health studio and get people in here to work out and, do aerobics and things like that. I mean, he converted it. God blessed him. He got out of the business, and he's never gone back. Why? You ain't supposed to drink as a Christian, and you're certainly not supposed to serve it to somebody else in your house or at the bar. So there you go. So the real question is, what are you going to do? You going to do what God says, or are you going to do what you want to do? Well, it usually boils down to doing what you want to do, but if you're a man with some character, you'll do what God said, and God will bless you for it, and we pray that you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.